Should there be a role for the federal government?
The mics are on.
Everybody's mics are on. I think we have a... I heard that too. That's okay. I think we had a little mic issue in the back.
Control room, we've got...
We have the... I think
audio.
We heard... Yeah, we have the audience audio. Yeah.
Someone's got my binder.
What's happening?
We are hearing our colleagues' audio. If the control room could turn off the mics.
Y'all are trying to be the news.
Yeah, if the control room could turn off the mics of our previous moderators, we will.
I think it's the prior moderator.
You know, we prepared for everything.
Guess what, guys?
We did not prepare for
this. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to get this technical situation fixed. We will be right back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
If you have some experience in television audio, NBC is hiring this morning because whoever left those mics on last night will not be working there anymore, I'm quite sure. It's 6:41. That's the closest you'll get to Chuck Todd this morning. I asked Pat Brady to join us earlier, and he said, well, the same money as last time. I said, yeah. So good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning, and that would never happen with Super Joe.
No, Super Joe would make sure the mics were off. He tries to turn my mic off while I'm talking.
Well, maybe there's a reason for that.
Yeah, how much do you think NBC pays, dude?
It's a union job, and, you know, it's union, but it's good. It's good, yeah. Knowing what you make, not nearly enough. At 6:42, let's play a quick game here, 312-981-7200. You could give us a call in about 10 minutes. We're going to play Duggar Child or Democratic Presidential Candidate. Let's see who you know more of, the Duggars or these Democratic presidential candidates. Okay, there's 19 Duggars. There's 20 presidential candidates. I'd like to thank the listener who texted in with that idea. It's nothing short of brilliant. And joining us on the phone right now is CNN's Todd Graham, America's debate coach. He knows more about this stuff than anybody. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, welcome to my Northern Nathers. I'm down here at Southern Illinois University enjoying the weather today.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 95 here, so if you want to warm up, come on up to Chicago.
Oh, nice, perfect. Yeah. Hey, do you know what? I feel so much better after they had the technical difficulties because we can't run a simple public debate without one of our microphones going out in Carbondale. So I was just, I feel so good about that something went wrong with them.
I don't, knowing a little bit about this, I don't quite know why it took so long to shut those mics off. I mean, once you've realized you made the mistake, I don't know if the engineer got up to pee. I don't know what happened there.
You know who the big winner was from that? The big winner from that was Mitt Romney. Are you ready for this? Because I don't know if anybody else is talking about this. I write my analysis for CNN. By the way, my column will be coming out shortly. But then I just go to bed, so I haven't read the internet. Mitt Romney's the big winner. Because who would have thought that one more time, binders of women would come up yet again in a presidential debate? I don't know if you remember that from 8 years ago, 4 years ago, but old Mitt Romney, you know, had the line about binders of women. They got a lot of jokes later, and it was misinterpreted. Well, that's what we heard in the background during that microphone fiasco, was one of the female moderators talking about her binder that was missing.
You know, the thing that struck me as well is last night is your lead candidates were fine. A couple of people stood out. But you can't make a mistake, and as America's debate coach, you can speak to this. You can't make a mistake like Tim Ryan made and expect to go anywhere from here because the internet, you know, is like, it's like super glue. Everything sticks to it. Tim Ryan.
Oh, yeah. So here's what I wrote. So I'll just give you a preview. So here's what I wrote about Tim Ryan. You know, they always ask me to give grades for the candidates because, you know, I'm a teacher, so they like grades. And so obviously I gave Tim Ryan an F, and here's what I wrote. I wrote, why so serious? I wrote, his lips were pursed. His eyes were wide open. But in fact, it's a true story. I just got back from an African safari, and I saw dozens of him wandering around hoping not to get eaten.
It's not good when you're lion food, and that's what he appeared to be last night.
With his nervous habits and his mispronouncing of simple words, he was really out of his element.
Yeah, they should have sent somebody off stage with a hook. Just next, let's clear up a chair. Pat Brady's here. Pat used to run the Republican Party here in Illinois, and then Trump got elected, and you know he now couldn't be more in the middle.
But also a proud SIU law school grad. But you won't see my name on any honor rolls down there, Professor.
What about
Okay, that's fine. That's okay. Proud grad is good for SIU. We take that.
Question for Ted.
Yeah, Beto. Did he just fall off the map last night?
Yeah, I gave him an F as well. He was the one I was most angry about. You know, one of the problems with writing is my columns have basically an 800-word limit, and one of the reasons I'm the worst writer ever, but they give me a lot of time at CNN because my pieces don't come in for 3-4 hours after the debate. I had about 1,400 words instead of 800, and most of them were how much I dislike Beto O'Rourke. I gave him an F, and I have never written the word lightweight as often as I wow. did when analyzing his debate. Okay. He failed to answer questions, he got beat up by the other candidates, and he double-turned himself in the middle of his answer. And most people won't catch this. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who wrote about this. Very toward the end of the debate, they asked him if America should ever get involved to help out countries, to help out, like, the humanitarian, et cetera, even if it's not in our sphere of influence. In the same breath, Beto said, well, you know what, we should you know, make sure and wait for our allies. And he said, for instance, but we should help out places like Rwanda. Rwanda, we did wait for our allies, and that's what caused much of that genocide. Right. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen, I'm a Midwesterner, so I don't really know Beto. I haven't followed him. I haven't studied him. Last night was, like most of America, my first chance to get to see him, and I'm just like, what was all the hype about? This guy is out of his element. This is way too much. And when he started speaking Spanish, it went downhill from there.
Hey, that was my question on that. I watched it, and I go, yeah, does that work or is it effective? Because others followed him. Is that an effective debate weapon to do that?
No, it's awful. It's awful. And you know, it's not because, well, I mean, there's lots of reasons for it, but it's because it's pandering.
Right.
I actually 100%. Found a really sweet quote from Julian Castro a few years back because he was not a fluent Spanish speaker. He could speak somewhat, but not fluent. And when he was doing that, when he was in office, he actually said it doesn't define who a person is that they cannot speak Spanish or don't speak it all the time. And it was funny because he spoke a little bit of it, Julian did, in his closing. But that's the best way to phrase it. You know what? Just because we don't speak Spanish doesn't mean we won't govern effectively for Hispanics or the Latino population. And so, no, I thought that Beto opening up by, you know, answering an entire question practically in Spanish was pandering. It was bad, and I would have never recommended
that. If you've ever traveled to any foreign country, Mexico, Canada, Europe, wherever, and you've tried to speak the language and you've seen the look on locals' faces, that's the look that was across America last night, because you were either people that didn't speak Spanish and go, what the hell is he doing? Or you were people that did speak Spanish and you went, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea how good his answer is. So I actually had originally written, maybe I'm being too hard on Beto because all of his answers I heard were terrible, but maybe the answer he gave in Spanish was just killer good. I don't know.
I actually saw a breakdown of it from someone who speaks fluently who said it was broken Spanish. It was the masculine and feminine were inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
All of those things.
I remember when I took it in college, also my worst class. You have to study a foreign language, as it turns out. The masculine and feminine is hard to get right.
A couple quick things before I let you go, and thanks for this. And by the way, you can see Todd Graham's column on CNN. Is it up now at CNN.com?
No, the editor just got back with me, so I'm not sure when. But here's what you do. You just follow me on Twitter, so at America Debate, on Twitter, and I'll post it just as soon as it comes out.
All right, so Julian Castro made some news. If he doesn't do anything with it this morning, it's not going to matter. The Supreme Court decisions are coming out shortly. I thought Cory Booker was good. Tulsi Gabbard had that great moment where she reminded Tim Ryan that the Al-Qaeda terrorists flew the planes, not Taliban terrorists. I don't know that she made a lot of inroads other than that. And
she did not. I'll just answer that. She did not.
Yeah.
I wrote about this because you get a limited time. I've never seen someone lose an entire debate based on one question. But
right.
But it wasn't even her answer to the question. When she got asked about the LGBTQ comments, I think everybody in America had to go Google those. And once they did, she's out.
Yeah. Because
Democrats, I mean, we've progressed too much. That particular party will think we've progressed too much to go backwards. She's out. That one answer just killed her.
But here's the question I have for you. The Democrats are walking around petrified of Donald Trump. They don't want to go after him. They don't want to do congressional oversight. And last night he was barely mentioned in the debate. I hate to break it to you. It's a large festering sore on America with orange hair, and it's not anything you can avoid. So why not talk about him?
You know, it was less than I expected, so it was a little bit surprising, and it's one of the reasons why I gave Jay Inslee a C, is because at the very end, if you remember, in this debate, when they actually asked a question, and he was a little off topic because they just said, I want one word answer, what's the greatest geopolitical threat? And while it might not be a geopolitical threat, he was the only one to answer, the greatest geopolitical threat to our security is Donald Trump.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
It got his biggest applause of the night, and he was just he was right on that. People wanted to hear more attacks, especially that audience who was all Democrats. They wanted to hear more attacks on Donald Trump.
How do you handle him then? Because we watched it 4 years ago, and nobody did it correctly.
How do you handle who?
Trump. What do you do with him?
Oh, this is a good one. Now, we can talk about this later when they get close, but I was thinking about this the other day because I get asked this question, and I actually have a new answer, which is just dead on true, which is you use the things that Trump is very good at one thing, which is whatever you accuse him of, he just turns it back and says, no, you're that too.
Right.
So if you accuse him of being racist, he says that, et cetera. Well, you can do that with him as well. So whatever he doesn't think you're doing well, you accuse him of this. So you can kind of turn that sort of same thing back on him. Nobody's ever tried that. So basically, whatever his attack is on you, you just wait for it, and then you say, nope, you do that too. And I thought that would be a real interesting way of doing it. But yeah, the main thing is you have to stand up to Trump. You can't be bullied by him, and you can't back down, ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, America's debate coach, he does a lot of personal coaching of your youngsters, you know, and of course he's got his debate camp every summer. We don't know where it is, but
Southern Illinois University, I'm down there, but it's, you know, I coach the debate team. We get going every year.
Thank you for the time. Appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
See you there. Todd Graham, CNN.com, and follow him on Twitter as well.